Welcome to episode 367 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth and Donna. The ceremony involved with naming a ship is as old as, well, since humans first built ships. Every culture has its version of the ceremony, some elaborate and some simple. Many are based in religion of some sort, asking the powers that be to keep a vessel safe throughout her time on the waters. We all have seen somewhere some well-dressed person or persons smashing a bottle against the hull of a ship. But what is it like to attend a ceremony like this? What really happens? Recently, Elizabeth was invited to the naming ceremony for the new Celebrity Apex. And before that, she also got to experience the ceremony for the Symphony of the Seas. And she and I experienced the naming of the Norwegian Encore. So now, with a few of these events under her belt, we thought we would find out what she observed and experienced. So let's get started. So yeah, this is cool. I mean, I would say when we did the Encore one, that was pretty cool because Clarkson was there. They had this big concert. It was definitely some hype going on.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a tale as old as time. It really is like something that we've been doing as human beings since the beginning of a thing, like ever since ships were a thing. There was this need to bless them before they went out on the water or, you know, grant them some good luck or whatever. And by the way, every ship has a naming ceremony and not every ship has good luck. So, but we do it anyway.
Just keep on doing it. It's better to be blessed than not, right?
Yeah. So this is my big moment because, you know, the first known people to do it were the Greeks and the Phoenicians. So today, when we're blessing a ship, you can thank the Phoenicians for my little Epcot friends. It's very, very old. And of course, the people that people call on to bless the ships change over time and with religions. And then there was that actual sort of christening, if you will, although that is a religious term, but the sort of blessing of the ship. And then that also evolved into naming the ship and, you know, ship names became very important. And so that sort of, you know, giving the ship its identity, her identity is part of that ceremony as well.
So you have on your show notes that they were overtly religious and could involve animal sacrifices.
That doesn't happen
really anymore.
No, that does not happen anymore. At least not anywhere that
would be
that
like a Greek and Roman tradition.
Yeah, at least not where I've been. Yeah, I mean, it could happen. You know, they build ships in South America. They build ships all over the world. And so there may be places, some corner of the world where animal sacrifices are still a thing. But yeah, no animals were sacrificed in the naming of these ships that I've attended the ceremonies for.
So why do you see some people like flinging a bottle of champagne at the hull of the ship?
So this is actually interesting. And I had to do some research because it basically the idea was you're proving the strength of the ship. So, you know, we want to make sure that the ship is solid and sturdy and will sail in the water. So you have to break something against it, I guess. You know, there's obviously some sort of, yeah. And so the bottle was originally, I mean, it's always been a bottle or a glass of some sort. And then the liquid sort of became a player later on. You know, are we going to use brandy or sherry or champagne? And actually, when they were telling the story for the Celebrity Apex, he actually said, you know, it was the French who made it champagne, because of course champagne is French. And but that's not actually true. The French were not necessarily the first people to use champagne were actually Americans. So that was the first steel battleship back in 1890, the USS Maine. And that was the first one that, you know, that we know of that was christened with an actual bottle of champagne. So the French had nothing to do with this one, except they made the champagne.
So the godmother tradition. This is something that I think if you're not in the industry, or maybe you are not a big cruise person, you don't realize this is a thing. But if you are cruising, there's a godmother for your ship usually. And well, I mean, I think almost always. And like, sometimes they're famous people, like the Encore, it was Kelly Clarkson. That's why she did the concert. So can you talk a little bit about the godmother tradition?
Yeah, and it's sort of interesting because we're starting to see brands are sort of developing a type of godmother. But basically, it's someone thought to look after the ship. And it's interesting because a long, long time ago, women weren't allowed on ships at all. It was considered bad luck for a woman to be anywhere near a ship. They would kick them off. They throw her overboard. You know, it was not okay. And then as time, and this was obviously a very long time ago. And then as time progressed, they actually started, you know, that you've seen the famous figureheads on ships that are women. And there was sort of this odd change of heart where women were determined to be the best navigators, the best ones for the eye for navigation. And so these figureheads on the ship were intended to both navigate the ship, you know, have it steer true, but also to scare any fish.
Are you talking about like the kind of statue of the woman?
Yeah, leaning out
like of mermaid, like going out of the bow of the ship. Okay.
Yep. So those were sort of the first women to be included in ships. And you know, you've heard there's some famous female pirates and things like that. But, you know, women really didn't play a huge role in the industry at all from the beginning of time. And then they sort of took on this role of almost a protection. Like the idea was that that they would lend some protection to the ship. But actually the transition included a godfather. So we didn't go straight to no women to godmother. We went to this like weird sort of marriage thing where there's a godfather and a godmother, which we say godfather now and you think of something totally different. But you but it's the two of them would work together to christen the ship. And then that eventually evolved completely over into a godmother. And you know, in this century and in the last one, we've seen a wide variety of women chosen to do this. AMA Waterways, which is a river cruise company, tends to choose powerful women in the travel industry. So our own NextGen president, Jackie Friedman, is the godmother of a ship that I'll actually be on next week. Shameless plug. I'm really excited. So and there's other sort of crew travel industry leaders who have been godmothers for those ships. Norwegian, of course, being the personality that Norwegian is, you know, you mentioned Kelly Clarkson, but they have the Breakaway and the Getaway, and the Breakaway was a New York themed ship, and then the Getaway was a Miami themed ship. And so for the Breakaway, they had the Rockettes as their godmother, like the entire Rockettes. And then they had the Miami Dolphins cheerleaders for their Breakaway ship. So they sort of,
they also had Pitbull for one of their ships.
Was he the godfather, or was he the, I meant to go look that up and I couldn't remember. I know he was a spokesperson. I think he was tied to the Breakaway. I think he was a spokesperson for the Breakaway. I mean, the Getaway.
One of my cruise worlds that I was at, that they had the Miami Dolphin cheerleaders come, because Cruise World at that time was in Fort Lauderdale. Now it's going to be in Miami this year. But yeah, the cheerleaders came and danced, and it was awesome. It was really cool.
Yeah, they sort of, they definitely partied that up. So, yeah. And then the Symphony of the Seas, Royal Caribbean, they actually had a god family. So they invited two actors and, you know, their son to be the god family for this ship, because the Symphony of the Seas has the family suite and they wanted to, you know, put out that it was a family. So there's not really a hard and fast rule. There's definitely been queens, princesses, you know, that's sort of who you think is like royalty would do it. But also athletes.
I've seen like Broadway people.
Kristen Chenoweth is a godmother. Oprah Winfrey is a godmother of a ship. Yeah. So she was a Holland
American. Kathy Lee Gifford.
Kathy Lee Gifford, absolutely. Carnival, yep. So yeah, we definitely have a wide variety, and it sort of can be anybody. Celebrity has then taken this to almost, now we're sort of getting into feminism for the godmothers, and Celebrity is known for putting women forward in this industry, because the shipping industry, you know, obviously has been very male dominated. We just talked about how women weren't even allowed to participate for a long time. So Celebrity has a female CEO, and they have Captain Kate, who is pretty much a, you know, a superstar. If a captain of a ship can be a superstar, she and her cat and incidentally, she was present at this naming ceremony. She was there on the ship and she sailed with us. But they've started choosing sort of activists and political leaders and known feminists to godmother their ship. So The Edge, which is the first of this class, they have Malala as their godmother. And then this ship, the Apex, they have Reshma Saujani. If you don't know who she is, you I think you actually know somebody who went through one of her programs. She's this founder and CEO of Girls Who Code, which is a nonprofit that's designed.
That is cool.
Yes. Yeah. Really and cool. She is smart as a whip. I think she go to Yale or Harvard. She went to one of them with law degree. She's practiced law. She ran for New York Congress, I think. So she unsuccessfully, unfortunately, but really quite a powerful presence. And she actually, when she named the ship, she brought her son up on stage to let him help. And her son is basically a babe in arms. He's probably 2, maybe 3 at the max. So it was really nice to sort of have this figure of a mother, truly.
Working mom, yeah.
Yeah, christening the ship. And so it really a lovely ceremony. So that sort of celebrity seems to be going on that sort of lean, you know, toward who they're choosing as their godmothers.
They're also very inclusive as a brand overall. Like if you look at their ads, they'll have like same-sex couples and things like that. So they're very... they're a very cool brand.
Yeah. And they actually, I mean, the women pushing, you know, I mentioned the CEO, I mentioned Captain Kate, but they also have a lot of female officers. I mean, they just really have a very high percentage compared to the rest of the industry. There's still a long way to go, but it's definitely part of their core values for sure. That's, you know, it's something that they're not doing that and just not talking about it. They're talking about it as well and putting it forward as what they do.
All right. So what's the normal flow of the ceremony? Because these are kind of big deals when you have like the actual naming ceremony.
Yep.
So how did it go?
So there's always entertainment involved. And I don't know if that's true. I haven't been on a river cruise or anything like that. But certainly with the mass market cruise lines, there's entertainment involved. So we were sung to by the that entertainment staff. I don't know if you remember, but for the encore, it wasn't only Kelly Clarkson who performed, but it was also, you know, their own staff, the Hairspray, you know, group. They did a number and there's always entertainment. Then there's processions where the executives of the company, the officers of the ship, and the godmother all sort of proceed in. On this particular ship, it's interesting because I got on the ship very late. Because of COVID, we had to board with whoever we were rooming with. And my roommate was flying from across the country. So she didn't land until 2. So we didn't board until, I think our boarding time was technically 3. And the naming ceremony was at 4. So I literally ran in, dropped my stuff. And then, you know, so I had an invitation to the naming ceremony to sit in the theater, which was the main venue of it. But I didn't realize I had that. I assumed I was a lowly nobody and was going to need to sit out on deck. So I actually went up to the rooftop garden, which was very nice. I hope I didn't take somebody's seat. And I sat up there in the main theater. They brought in the executives with bagpipes. Now, I don't know how close you've ever been to a bagpipe, but I am very glad I wasn't in that theater.
Actually, I have a neighbor down the street who practices his bagpipes in the cul-de-sac, and it's because his wife won't let him practice in the house anymore.
It really is not an instrument meant for close.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, I mean, nobody designed that instrument to be blown right next to their head, except for by the person who's playing it. So yeah, that was pretty intense, but it was beautiful from where I was sitting because I was far enough away. So they have a procession, and then there's the blessings, and this was they tried to be very representative, and it led to a really great joke because they actually had a priest, a rabbi, and a pujari, which is the Hindu priest. So the priest went first, did the classic, you know, and also with you, and then the rabbi did a very classic blessing, and then the there was a female pujari, and she was very funny, and she said, you know, this actually gave me the chance to now tell the joke. A priest, a rabbi, and a pujari walked into a ship. So really funny lady, and she did a beautiful you know, they do the singing blessing, calling on the safety of the ship. So honestly, this ship was definitely covered by, you know, certainly 3 major religions. They tried to be as inclusive as possible in that as well. And then lots of speeches and, you know, self-congratulations and also congratulations, you know, thank you to the people who designed the ship and, you know, lots of shout outs. And it's obviously a lot of work to create a ship like this. And of course, this ship has a story because this ceremony was supposed to happen on March 30th, 2020. Mm-hmm. And so obviously a lot has gone down since then. And unlike most ships, usually you don't want to sail with the public until you have had your naming ceremony. It's bad luck. But this ship, and actually I'm going to another naming ceremony this week for the Odyssey of the Seas. Both of them have been on the water because once Return to Sail started, these were the line's newest ships. And they've been built for over a year now, and they should have been sailing for over a year now. And so they sort of told the story of what that was like to be planning this huge, huge celebration. And then, you know, 2 weeks before, have everything shut down and find out they're not doing it. And then sort of the putting it off. Well, we'll definitely do it in May. Well, we'll definitely do it in, you know, sort of reliving that.
I remember how that year went.
Yeah. Get a little bit of group therapy there to go through that. And then there's a speech by the godmother. And then the breaking of the bottle. And now the breaking of the bottle is almost, I mean, it's not turning into something akin to the Olympic torch. We certainly didn't have like a huge piece of machinery that like, you know, raised it up into the, but they put it on a crane, and then they have a button that in theory, I still don't believe that that is actually connected, but this button comes up and you push it and then it blows a charge on the crane and it swings the bottle into the hull of the ship. So you're inside the ship safely, and then the bottle's on the outside of the hull and they show it on a video camera. So every ceremony I've seen has done this effect where they, you know, they're inside and they push some sort of big plunger on the stage and that causes the bottle to,
Well, could you imagine that if you swung the bottle and it didn't break? I mean, no, you gotta kind of...
It's happened. It's supposed to be very bad luck. And it was actually when I was reading up on this, you know, to research for this episode, there's a story of one captain who was so nervous about it that he kept testing it with different bottles. But all the testing, because these are big bottles of champagne. They're like, you know, they're huge bottles. And it stretched the rope out so that when they actually did it, it hit the neck of the bottle, which is the strongest part of the bottle, and it didn't break. So all of his tests had worked, but then this one just hit wrong. So, but that is supposed to be like, that's sort of, I think more than the blessings or anything else is ultimately considered to be the biggest symbol of good luck, is that the bottle breaks against them. So, nice. Yeah.
So I know we're talking all about the actual naming ceremony, and I know we've done another podcast about this ship, but is there anything that stood out that you want to give mention to?
Yeah, and I think, so the other episode that you're alluding to, we talked to Kristen about her trip to Greece, and that she was sailing on the Apex, so she was one of those people who got to sail on her before she was actually officially named.
Yeah.
And I think that the key thing to know about this is celebrities' new ships are very technologically advanced. And so there's a little tablet on the wall, almost like a little Nest kind of thing, where you can control the lights in your room, and you have a you have mood, you know, you can hit a button that says morning and the blinds go up, and you have a one that says sleep and the blinds go down. You know, it's like, and all the lights go, and it's interesting because the lights are timed. So you hit sleep and then you have a few seconds to get to bed and tuck in, and then the bedside lights go dim. So you have enough light to get from the switch to the bed. Yeah, because we were like, well, what's going to happen now? And then suddenly they start dimming, you know, because we were reaching to turn them off. So so very cool in that respect. But my favorite thing about all this technology was that the infinite balcony that they've created. So this is reminiscent of a river cruise ship. And I've talked about this before, where I really like when you just open up the wall and you have a bar there so that that's your balcony. And so that gives you that extra space inside the cabin. And so you have these glass, like French, well, they're not French doors. They're like the shutter doors, you know, is that what they're called? Like old school closets with the, anyway, the folding. Doors, you know, and so they push flat up against the wall. And so you can have all that space. So we never closed that. If you want the illusion of a full balcony, you can close that. And then there's the carpeting ends, and you have sort of this wood flooring that's on your balcony. But that sitting area is in your room. And then there's a button on the wall, and it lowers the top half of the window down to the middle so that that becomes your balcony. So your whole room becomes your balcony. I love that. It really gives you extra space in the room. It makes the room feel so much larger, and you still get all the effect. I mean, I don't need to like squeeze through a door that's difficult to open and, you know, to get out there. My concern about it is what happens when that stuff breaks? Like, that's a lot of like gears and technology that it's like, how often does that button just, you know?
I don't know. I thought that about my minivan when I bought it, and none of that stuff ever broke.
It's true. I mean, you know, you're right. The power windows in your car and stuff. So it may be the same sort of technology. But lots of dining. You know, they have a bunch of dining rooms that are complimentary, plus their specialty dining. There's different levels of service on Celebrity, from your standard entry level service, which is wonderful. And then there's a concierge level, there's a spa class level, and then there's their suite classes. And their suites are notorious for being, you know, kind of amazing.
Hot tubs on the balcony and stuff.
Yeah, the hot tubs on the balcony and really beautiful stuff. And bathrooms with, you know, you can take a bath and watch the ocean go by. I mean, this beautiful windows and everything. So to me, the accommodations were really, really mind blowing. I was only on for two nights, so I didn't get to experience a whole lot. The food that I had was good, for sure, but I didn't do any specialty dining or anything like that. That was only for, you know, really important people.
Special people.
So I think our friend Danny did get a specialty dining.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. When you're a YouTube sensation.
That's right. But I was very grateful for the chance, because I've only been on Celebrity one other time. So it was really nice. I am very impressed with these new ships, and I'm curious to see the Beyond when it comes out. I mean, I think they've got this line, you know, it does speak to me in many ways. So their older ships don't speak to me as much, but I loved the way they did trivia. They had big screens. It was very easy and very clear. Now the trivia wasn't easy. It was challenging, but the way they did it was very clear. And you know, you weren't like, can you say that again? I can't understand you. It was, you know, really well done. They do it in this theater. They had lots of sort of pop-up show areas. This show called Cabaret was in the same theater where they did the trivia, and it was very good, you know, small scale acrobatics and, you know, close in dance and stuff like that, which was really, really good. So overall, great experience. I really loved it. And they best bartenders at sea, I swear. These guys are super talented, and they do, you know, they'll dance on the bars, and they'll flip the shakers, and you know, and they'll do the fancy pours. And we ordered four martinis. There were four of us there, and we ordered four martinis just so nobody thinks that one of us was having four martinis. And they put the shakers together and pour them all out at once. You know, mm-hmm. It's very cool. So
really, I think, well, this is just my like supposing, but I do think that the cruising staff is very happy to have people back.
Yeah. I would completely agree with that. I mean, I now I've been on a few lines. I've been on Royal Caribbean, Norwegian, and now Celebrity, and I've had the same sort of feeling. They're just really glad to be getting back to work and back on the ocean. And I certainly am glad to be there as well. It's just so nice to see. And we're still, you know, if you have thought about trying to cruise, or if you are an avid cruiser, still sailing at lower capacities. It's so
last minute travel right now is really, really affordable. And so just really quick touch on what Celebrity is requiring.
Vaccination. I did not look at this was no kids on this cruise because it was a travel industry event. So I didn't look really closely at the requirements, but I think they're a little bit in line with Royal Caribbean. It's the same family. If you don't know, Celebrity is the premium brand in the Royal Caribbean family. And I had to test for Celebrity. I had to test 3 days before. Royal Caribbean is requiring 2 days before, but Celebrity is still three. It's an antigen test. So I was able to do the Binax at home test. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to board, I didn't get tested again. But I was asked three times to show my paper that I, you know, had the negative COVID test and that I was vaccinated, and they looked very carefully at my vaccination card. So
was your test, you couldn't just show them a barcode?
You had to show them something that showed that it was negative. You could show it on your phone. I now default to printing it out. But I had it both ways. And of course, when you're sailing from the US back to the US, you don't need to test on board to get back in the country. That's only for air travel. So there was no test on board unless you needed it because you were showing symptoms. No masks once you got on board. In fact, we hoofed it all the way up to the deck, and they welcomed us on board. And as we were, before we walked onto the all the way onto the ship, we were just on the deck. They said to us, you can take your mask off now if you want. And we're like, thank you. Cause we both had the K95 masks on, and we were about done with those. So,
yeah. I mean, I've had three shots. I'm feeling pretty confident.
I felt pretty comfortable too. There were a few times where I was in close quarters. I actually had a spa treatment in Fort Lauderdale because I had so much time to kill between the time I landed and when my roommate landed. So I did a day pass at the Westin, and I actually did a facial, which I had not done since before COVID, because I didn't want to do anything where somebody was touching my face. But they were very careful. She didn't do a whole lot around my nose, and she wore a mask the whole time. And I'm taking a test tomorrow before I take my Royal Caribbean cruise, so I'll let you know how that goes. Hopefully yeah, it went just fine. I feel perfectly fine. Like so, yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Elizabeth, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.